You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Everyone, and welcome to a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you here today. Mark Dukes off today, enjoying a day off and enjoying a beautiful day, a beautiful spring-like day or fall-like day, depending on your viewpoint here in Eastern Iowa. He will be back on Monday when we reconvene with the Gym Class. We are off tomorrow. Cubs back in action tomorrow. They start the second half of the baseball season at home against the red-hot Boston Red Sox. Should be a very entertaining series at Wrigley Field. And so they will take center stage tomorrow afternoon. We'll be back with you coming up on Monday. And we got a great show coming up for you today. It's an all-Gazette program, if you will. We're going to preview the girls' state softball tournament, boys' state baseball tournaments. We'll talk a little Colonels baseball. We'll talk Gazette Athletes of the Year. We'll do all that here in just a little bit. Jeff Linder of the Gazette going to join us first, and then Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join us coming up in the second half of the program here today. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. That's a phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that's also 319-366-1600 here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Andrew is with me, though. He is on the other side of the glass and ready to go.
Yep, I'm here.
So if I give you the high sign, you got to take it, man. You just go. All right?
Yeah, I hope I'm paying attention the whole time then.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to have a good one today. We're going to have a good show coming up today for you. And Spencer on Sports will follow us. That will be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. One more day without baseball. We had the ESPYs last night. I think a lot of mixed bag as far as the monologue is concerned by Mr. Gillis last night. You either liked it or you didn't like it. So I thought there was some funny stuff there. I did not watch. I don't watch the ESPYs. I'm not a big award show guy watcher. I'll watch the Oscars. That's the biggie. But pretty much everything else I will take a solid pass on. And that includes the ESPYs because I don't believe usually they pick the people that are deserving of winning. They pick the people that are in their best interest to see haul off with some hardware. So I don't know. Are you an award show watcher, Andrew?
I'll watch the Oscars, yes. If I can, the Emmys or the Tonys, yes. Other than that, like ESPYs, didn't watch. I just saw the like chaos that ensued on Twitter after that monologue.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was funny. I thought it was, people are going to cringe. It's always cringeworthy, right? And, you know.
Yes, humor is subjective, whether it's at you or you're seeing it towards somebody else or like.
Well, you can't talk about him like that.
Right, right. It's like, it's just, well, I shouldn't say it's just words because I don't know the whole speech. So, but like every award show, there's something that's just like, whoa, that might have been too far or something.
They might have
like
crossed
that.
The line on that one.
Yeah.
Hey, you wanted to get people angry? Go back, watch the Dean Martin celebrity roasts back in the 70s.
I've seen a couple of those.
Those were evil. They were on network television.
Yeah. They're the reason why we don't have that anymore.
No, that's why obviously Comedy Central does their celebrity roast. Closest thing, and much raunchier, but that is not on network television.
Yes.
So don't watch it with the kids. 319-366-1600. Happy Thursday to you too, CDG out there. Appreciate you listening on the program here today. Open Championship going on at Royal Portrush. Let's get you updated on what's happening there. It is, as of the moment, a four-way tie, or I should say a five-way tie with one player still on the course. The Dane, Jacob Skov Olesen, along with the player from China, Hao Tong Li, the Englishman, Matt Fitzpatrick, Christian Bezuidenhout, they are all in the clubhouse at 4 under par 67. From the United States, Harris English in there at minus four. He is playing 18 as we speak. One shot lead over a group of golfers, including Scotty Scheffler, world number one, shot a 3 under par 68. Today, Tyrrell Hatton also with a 3 under par 68. And many people piled in at minus two, even more at minus one. And 31 players of the 160 or so finished under par today. The wind kicked up. It was brief on and off showers throughout the day, but then the big story was the wind that kicked up later in the afternoon. Rory McIlroy shot a 1 under par 70 today, so he is right there in the mix. Xander Schauffele with an even par 71 today as well. As play still continuing, as they will go until it is now 9:12 in Northern Ireland, and it stays sunny until past 10 o'clock, way up at the top of the UK. So they're still out there. And it has been slow play today. 5.5 hour rounds. Mark Leishman said it felt like he was out there for 12 hours today.
Oh, yikes, 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 yikes.
So, yeah, man alive. If it's if you like fast golf, that was not your cup of tea today. So it'll get better as we get toward the weekend. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim weighing in on the ESPYs, saying that the ESPYs have turned into a glorified lifetime achievement, overcoming whatever the case may be with inspiration, which is good. Very little actual awards. Not against those things, but don't advertise the show strictly as a sports award show when many of the awards are not current sports. So I get your point. It's entertainment. It's ESPN needing something on the one day of the year that there is not sports. Did you know that, Andrew? That was last night.
I didn't know that. Nope. I didn't know that's why they kind of put that there every year.
That is why it is there.
Interesting.
Every year. Because there is nothing going on in the world of sports yesterday. If you look at the schedule on my phone here, which I keep tabs with the world of sports, yesterday was absolutely zippo, except for the WNBA. I will say the WNBA did have games yesterday, getting them in before the All-Star break. And if you have not heard, Caitlin Clark is out of the three-point contest for the All-Star weekend.
Had not heard that. I knew she'd been out for a while now, but a lot happens in a week when you're not here.
8532 is saying, I bet they wouldn't play so slow if they had hockey players behind each group. Reference to Happy Gilmore 2, which is going to be coming out a week from tomorrow. We're going to talk to Jeff Linder of the Gazette coming up here in just a couple of moments. I'll let you dial him up here, Andrew. So we will preview the state softball tournament at Harlan Rogers Park in Fort Dodge. Always a fun week, and we will talk about that with Jeff. And he'll also talk about the Athletes of the Year for the Gazette for 2025 and kind of put a wrap on things as we get closer and closer to the brand new athletic calendar getting underway. So we'll talk with Jeff Linder of the Gazette coming up here in just a couple of moments. Again, text line available to you at 319-366-1600 as we take you to through a Thursday edition of the program. Scott Unash with you, and Andrew on the other side of the glass. And let's talk about state softball and other things as we have Jeff Linder of the Gazette kind enough to join us here on a Thursday afternoon in Eastern Iowa. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the nice, cool weather.
This
feels
is
like, feels like week three of football.
I was going to say, if we get this weather in, what, early October of the football season, it'll be great.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, 7 weeks from tomorrow.
I'll take your word for it.
I know you.
Hey, do you have your football ballot ready?
I do. I've been actually thinking about it because I know you're going to be sending out that email soon. So I have been looking at it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I'm ready. Not quite ready yet, but we're getting
I'll be ready. I'll be ready when the time comes. I'm not there yet.
No. Well, you got softball coming up yet. So we'll have that to look forward to, certainly. And let's get to that. State softball coming up next week in Fort Dodge. As five classes, starting with Class 4A, and we are familiar with the number one team. They almost were number one all through the year, and that is Cedar Rapids Xavier. And the Saints had a tussle, though, in that regional final.
Yeah, they really did. It was a really, really entertaining pitcher's duel for five innings, and well, five and a half, and then Xavier struck for a couple runs there in the bottom of the sixth, and that was all she wrote. I think we could have played till 11 or 12 o'clock, and I still don't think Breelan Conlon was going to give up a run.
Yeah, the Xavier team has great pitching. They've got very good hitting. Two very, very good players, State's home run leader in Katie Pilcher, and this is a Xavier team, I think, that's poised to win this 4A state title.
Yeah, I think they're certainly the team to beat. But I'll tell you that that 4A field from one through, I would say, seven is very, very good. You know, North Scott's a seventh seed, Western Dubuque a six. So if that's the case, it's really strong.
Well, and Norwalk, North Scott, Dallas Center, Grimes, a lot of Central Iowa 4A powers are there.
Yep, ADM. It's a lot like 5A light with all the Central Iowa powers, the Raccoon River teams and little Hawkeye teams, and boy, I don't know a lot of these schools which is which, but yeah, it's a really strong, really deep field.
Yeah, it certainly is. That's 4A, and 5A, great story with Linmar, number two seed, and 33-6 on the year. They'll take on Pleasant Valley in the first round. Two MVC teams getting there, kind of spoiling the party for the CIML over there. But what are Linmar's shots?
They've got Emily Caranda, so they've got a shot against anybody. She's a great pitcher. Going to have a little something on her for Monday's paper. Her return from the ACL tear that she suffered as a junior during basketball season, but. They go from 19-20 to 33-6, and they're absolutely a team that's got a shot at it, as are, again, several others.
Yeah, you've got the top half of that 5A bracket is all CIML, and then you've got Linmar PV in Cedar Falls along with Southeast Polk on the bottom of that thing.
Cedar Falls' first trip, so good for them. They've been so successful in so many sports, softball, not so much, but that's a good team this year, and we'll see what they can do against Southeast Polk.
That's very surprising that it's their first trip.
Yeah, it is. It is. A school with the athletic traditions that they do, it's surprising, but, most years they're kind of an also-ran in the MVC, but certainly not this year.
Dowling and Jeff met both under 500. Somebody was going to go to the state tournament, and Dowling won that thing, and they get Waukee Northwest, the number one seed, but there is a Cinderella.
Dowling and Cinderella,
No.
You can't put that in the same sentence, Scott.
Yeah, they will, they'll show up, and they will give a good account of themselves.
They'll show up, and they'll compete, absolutely.
Yeah. 3A, taking a look at that. A lot of Eastern Iowa flavor in there.
Yeah.
Dubuque-Wallert leading the way as the number one seed. They get center pointer Banna. Good to see CPU get back to Fort Dodge over there. And then you got West Liberty. You got Williamsburg, the Washington Demons there as well. So that's a good 3A Eastern Iowa field.
Yeah. We'll call that the Stephanie Rich Bowl. How's that sound?
There you go.
lot of really good teams in 3A around here, and a lot of really good teams in 3A here that didn't make it. Start with Mount Vernon, but CPU is playing well. Wallert is very, very good, but I expect CPU to compete with Wallert. West Liberty, they've got a great player in Pearson Hall. She's going to go play at Drake.
I don't know.
We know what Williamsburg's capable of doing. They've been in the final. Well, they've been in the top three 5 years in a row. And Washington's got the Salazar girls. One pitches really well. One hits really well, and it's really speedy on the base paths. So yeah, and Albia's got a nice tradition too. So I think I would say we're looking at probably a Wallert Williamsburg final, but. Who knows?
Yeah, and Esterville Lincoln Central, they had the 11 or 12 inning regional final game.
I think they were down a run in the bottom of their last inning twice, maybe three times, including in the 12th. They were down 2-1 in the 12th and scored two.
And it's going to be kind of the end of the line for that terrific athletic group up there in Northwest Iowa.
Yeah, Haley Stokes and Riley Yeager and some of those kids have been so successful in so many things.
Yeah. Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us. We are talking about the state softball tournament here at 3:22. And let's go to Class 2A, take a look at that as Van Meter is the number one seed in that particular group. Durant, good to see Durant get there. Cascade, you got to see the Cougars. And what about Class 2A?
Well, I think Van Meter's a pretty heavy favorite to win that one again. Cascade, I saw them in the regional final, and they hit three home runs and beat Beckman for the first time in four tries this year. So they're playing very well there. They'll be pretty well battle-tested. I think that'll be a good game, first-round game with West Lyon, but I think Van Meter's a pretty heavy favorite there.
They aren't going to be 2A very much longer either.
No, they are the next one to explode, aren't they?
They aren't called Waukee Southeast for nothing.
Yeah.
They're going to be a pretty substantial favorite in that one. Class 1A, Wayne from down in South Central Iowa, your number one seed. They're going to get Highland from our neck of the woods over here. And then the bottom of that particular bracket, you've got Clarksville, who's a perennial now in 1A softball. And Wapsie Valley, a very good team in there as well. So 1A's got some new flavor to it.
Yeah, and St. Edmund and Newman are both quality teams. Oakland Riverside, good team. Newell Fonda's got good athletes, we know that. So my hunch is maybe Wapsie Valley wins the thing.
That'd be a nice run for them.
Yeah. They're kind of a newcomer to being really good in softball, but they've just pounded teams lately, and I think they might be really good.
Yeah, and Fort Dodge does such a great job of rolling out the red carpet for this thing. The Harlan Rogers Park is just amazing, and they improve it each and every year.
Yeah, and they got a lot more improvements to go between now and next year because it's going to become double elimination. Until the championship game, there's not going to be an if game, but because I think next year they're going to have four basically championship level fields with press boxes and everything like that. So it's a great, great place to have it. They should never move it in the foreseeable future. And, you know, a lot of people say a lot of negative things about Fort Dodge, but I think most of those people have never been to a state softball tournament.
No, it's a very, very good host up there. And yeah, you mentioned double elimination. That is going to shake things up in a big, big way next year.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen the format. Jason said he might let me take a peek at it sometime this week. But yeah, that'll be, that'll be another, it's going to be a lot more to keep track of, that's for sure.
Yeah. But I think maybe a more worthy winner, perhaps.
Yeah, it'll probably be a more fair format. I wish if they were going to do this, it would be a true double elimination where, everybody had to lose twice before a winner was crowned. But, with TV, I certainly understand that.
Yeah. Big weekend, obviously, for everybody down at the paper with the unveiling of our Athletes of the Year for the Gazette. And I tell you what, you've done this a long, long time. And I asked Mark Dukes this question as well. Were there maybe two better, more deserving female athletes than the two that were the co-Athletes of the Year this year? And it'd be hard pressed to come up with two better ones than Libby Fandel and Chloe Meester.
Yeah, those two are about as good as we've had in a while. And it would have been a shame for one of those kids not to have a banner on their gym wall. That was kind of my philosophy when we went about voting. We never have given the voters the option to vote co-number ones on either side, but we did this year with the girls, and the vast, vast majority of the voters went that direction.
And, I mean, just taking a look at their careers, I don't think you can differentiate one from the other. I mean, they're both that good.
No. Their resumes are just about identical. One was a state basketball player of the year. One was a state volleyball player of the year. Both first team all state several times in two sports. You give Meester slight advantage for two titles this year to one for Fandel, but then you turn around, it's 3-2 Fandel for career. Both going to a P5 and maybe slight advantage for Meester going to a better program in Louisville volleyball. But I'll tell you, Kansas basketball, they're coming. They've got a really good class of freshmen and transfers coming in, and I think they're going to be a handful pretty quick.
Yeah, number 7 rated recruiting class in America.
Yeah, and plus a couple really good transfers, and I absolutely think Fandel's going to play there right away. I don't know if she'll start. I'd say probably not right away, but I think she's absolutely going to be a contributor.
Yeah, I would agree. And Morgan Page, of course, mm-hmm. with ties around here, assistant coach, chief recruiter, has just done an amazing job.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Morgan will probably be a head coach someday. I think she's a very good recruiter. Absolutely and obviously knows basketball. And I think she's a good one.
I would agree. I would agree. And then on the boys' side, Riker Dengler, very good story out of West Liberty. I know people that follow high school sports know of him, but those that are kind of on the fringe, I mean, this guy did some great things, yes, but I think the most amazing feat that he put out there was he wrestled and he played basketball at the same time for West Liberty.
And he did them both very well. I mean, this is a kid that finished 6th at state in wrestling, averaged, I think, 17, 18 points a game in basketball. You just don't see that. And, to finish it off with a state championship in the 400 hurdles, which a lot of people think is the toughest event in track. Yeah, I'll be perfectly honest. I had never heard of Riker Dengler until shortly before the resume started coming in. But once you see that, once you see what he did, holy cow, absolutely, definitely deserving.
Yeah, and he's going to go to Co. He's going to play football, so he'll concentrate on one.
Yeah.
When he gets there and play quarterback for the Cohawks. And
yeah.
Now that we're at the end of the year, a couple things that jump out at you, looking back at the high school seasons?
Well, you know, with what Mount Vernon did in volleyball, they were just so dominant. What Fandel and the Saints did in basketball, what a neat ending for Tom Lilly there. You know, Quentin Nauman in track and cross country, what he did at Western Dubuque, and all that's unforgettable. And he's still got another year to go. I would say those are three of the big things that I've seen so far. And who knows what we'll see this coming week? State softball, state baseball. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think it is. I think it is. And you mentioned you're going to, when will be the preview for state softball coming up?
It's going to go in Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Right on the first day of play. Yep. Bright and early at 10 o'clock, you'll be on the field up at Fort
Dodge. Diamond One, or whatever they call it now.
Channel Seeds Field.
Channel Seeds, okay. I didn't know if that was that or if it was Iowa Central. It's still and always will be Diamond One to me.
Diamond One to you. Xavier and Pella. Hey, Xavier and Pella in something, a sporting event. That rarely happens, does it?
Yeah.
Hey.
No, yeah, it's that 4A tournament's going to be really good.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. And, hey, Jeff, thanks. Appreciate it. 7 weeks from tomorrow, football starts. So,
all right.
We're ready to go.
All right. I've got my ballot ready, but I'm not telling you anything yet.
Can't influence the other voters. So
that's right.
Hey, safe travels to Fort Dodge.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Scott.
You bet. Jeff Linder of the Gazette joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class to preview state softball, look back a little bit on the high school calendar from this past year and talk about the athletes of the year. Jeff does a terrific job. You can read all his stuff online with the Gazette's website. And same thing with Jeff Johnson. We're going to talk to him coming up here in just a couple of moments. Do want to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, though. It is brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. And at this time, I usually throw it to Mr. Mark Dukes, but he is not here today. So I am going to give you said update courtesy of Emil's Hideaway. And breaking news just coming down. CBS Sports reporting that the Pittsburgh Steelers and T.J. Watt have agreed to a 3-year contract extension that is going to be worth $123 million. So that's the good news in football. The not-so-good news is Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice has been sentenced to 30 days of jail time and 5 years probation for his role in the multi-car crash in Dallas, Texas last year. That according to Adam Schefter of ESPN. It's also likely that Rice will serve a multi-game suspension sometime during the 2025 season. Rice can, at any time during the 5 years, he can serve that 30-day jail time. News from Iowa City coming out today as there is football news. Two games have reached sellouts for Iowa football this year. That would be the home games against the Indiana Hoosiers and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Single game tickets for the others went on sale Monday to donors and the general public. Those tickets went on sale earlier today at 9 o'clock. Right now, 2,400 tickets remain for the season opener against Albany, about 1,000 for UMass and Penn State. 1,600 still remain for Oregon, and just slightly less than 4,000 remain for Michigan State. And baseball gets started again tomorrow, as that will be the Cubs and the Boston Red Sox going at it from Wrigley Field in Chicago. And, of course, we'll have that for you preempting us until Monday. So that's your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here today. Don't forget Spencer on Sports coming up next. Going to have your next chance to win tickets to see comedian Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show. And all you need to do is listen in to Spencer on Sports. He'll give you the keyword to text sometime during that two-hour window from 4 until 6. That show coming up on Friday, October the 17th at the Paramount Theater. We'll take a break, come back. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette will join me when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. There's going to be a mix of sun and clouds for the remainder of the day, and it's feeling nice and comfortable with temperatures in the low to mid 70s and humidity on the low side, especially for July standards. As we head into tonight, we are going to have mostly clear skies and drop down to a low around 60. Tomorrow will be a bit warmer with partly cloudy skies. Temperatures climb into the upper 70s. Humidity will start to rise through the day, and we'll have a chance for showers and storms Friday night into early Saturday. That's your latest Weather First forecast.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier softball team is headed to the state tournament for the first time since 2018. The Saints punched their ticket on Tuesday with a 2-0 shutout of Bondurant Farrar in the Class 4A Region 1 semifinal. Senior Braylon Conlon had another spectacular showing, pitching a one-hitter and retiring the final 14 batters she faced. The Saints will meet Pella in the 4A first round on Monday in Fort Dodge. The Xavier baseball team wrapped up their postseason this week after a strong start with a 12-2 win over Fort Madison in the quarterfinals on Saturday. The Saints fell 3-0 to Clear Creek Amana in the Class 3A substate semifinal on Monday. The Saints finished their season 18-17. Thanks to all the players and coaches.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimber Company. Family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimber Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Swing by Quick Spirits in Iowa City for a wide selection of wine, beer, and spirits that fit every vibe and every budget. Into cigars? Step into our walk-in humidor, stocked with premium picks for your pour. And right now, Hawkeye Vodka 750ml bottles are two for just $12. Or grab a 750ml bottle of Jägermeister for only $22.98. Offer valid only at your Iowa City Quick Spirits. Raise your glass without raising your budget.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at hims.com/joy, and from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit. hims.com/joy.
We are back, 3:38, Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unash with you, going solo here today. Andrew on the other side of the glass, our producer. Spencer on Sports, coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. 319-366-1600, that is the text line, if you'd like to weigh in here today. It is 6 weeks from tomorrow, because the week zero games, you are right, 94-46. 6 weeks from tomorrow for those handful of week zero games. 7 weeks, I think, till most everybody gets underway. Is that right? Sound right to you, Jeff?
Sure.
you sound about as ready as Mr. Linder and I are. Oh, okay.
Yeah. First things first, huh? But yeah, it's here. I mean, I ran into Kyle Knock and Mo Blue last night at the Prairie baseball game I was covering, and they're all excited and they're ready to go. So yeah, it's right around the corner.
Everybody's ready to go.
yeah, for sure.
Much like college, everybody's a state champion right now. So that's
exactly. That's everybody's fun. Undefeated. So
there you go. Hey, I told Duker this as well, but I'll tell you, congratulations on the Byron Buxton showing and not getting hurt in the home run derby on Monday night.
Yeah, and
he's having the best season of his career, and it's on a crappy team. So, you know, doesn't that go figure? But, I mean, it's great. It's great to see him healthy and to show people how good a player he is when he's healthy.
Yep, you're right. Look what he's doing right now. And he's not been completely healthy, but for the most part, he was. And it was great to see Tommy Watkins out there throwing pitches to him.
100%. My guy Tommy, one of the best guys you'll ever meet. Twins third base coach. Was a guy throwing, like as you said, throwing BP to him. You know, they Tommy managed him when he was when Buck was in Cedar Rapids way back in the day. So happy as heck for both Buxton and certainly for Tommy to get to experience the All-Star. Everything with the All-Star game. Very, very happy.
Very indeed. They look good. They look good. Well, I'll get to high school baseball here. And you mentioned out of Prairie last night, heck of a crowd for Prairie Cedar Falls. That was nice to see last night.
Yeah. I mean, you figured Prairie playing at home would have a lot of people there, and it did. And, you know, Cedar Falls traveled immensely well. Obviously not too far of a journey, but the hill, the grass areas on the third base side were full of lawn chairs. I mean, it was not much room left. And Prairie played a good game and had a great second inning, scoring 8 runs and put that thing away pretty early. And you never thought you would hear, "Yeah, we get to go to Sioux City. We get to go to Sioux City." No offense, Sioux City, but come on. Nobody says that, right? But that's where everybody's headed next week. So,
did you and KJ have a toss of the coin yet?
No, we're still kind of working things out. But first things first with him, he's going to be in Fort Dodge to watch his daughter play for Xavier. And I'd have probably punched him had he not decided to go that direction. So, go Saints. That's his first and foremost focus, and we'll figure out next week, as we get to it. So,
There you go. And let's start with 4A. They get to go to beautiful Sioux City next week. Where Sioux City East, they're going to try to pull a Kennedy from last year and have the ability to sleep in their own beds, play in their home city. They're in the number one seed. Bettendorf is the number eight. That because number one rated Pleasant Valley was upset in the very first game, showing you everything you need to know about high school baseball, because anybody can beat anybody on a given night.
Yeah.
And that certainly happened. But pretty good field. Johnson's in for the 10th straight year. I think the last year for their Hall of Fame coach. They get Prairie in the first round. It's three MVC CIML matchups in the first round.
Yeah, and where we've seen that before, right? So I think it's a pretty open field. Like you said, East got the number one seed. And I think I was just looking at stats. I think they've hit like 35 home runs this season as a team, which is a lot. probably be pretty heavily favored over Bettendorf, like you said, gets the home bed advantage, so to speak. And, the rest of the field never, ever, ever looked past Johnston, for sure. Prairie's got a tough one there in the first round. Prairie, I think can hit with anybody, and if they can manufacture some runs, they'll have a chance certainly to win that game and then to move on and, maybe even win the whole thing. You know, Liberty's having a great season, won a division title for the first time, and, squeaked past Linmar last night, gets Waukee Northwest, and then, City High can pitch with anybody. Certainly sitting there at the three seed and gets Waukee, which unfortunately walked off Kennedy last night, scoring 2 runs in the bottom of the 7th inning to win that game. So, yeah, I just talking to the coaches that I've talked to and KJ and everybody, it looks like a really open field in 4A, and you can make a case for just about everybody there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how those three first round matchups go. And yeah, City High's got the pitching to play with anybody out there. You get pitching and defense, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And the Littlehawks have scuffled at times a little bit offensively, but like you said, pitching and defense wins games and tends to win big games. And, you know, they've got guys like Jackson Schrader and Drake Obermueller on the mound. That's a really good 1-2 punch. And, yeah, they're going to be a handful. They've got the experience. I think this is the fourth year in a row that Coach Brian Mitchell has led his club down there. So, and it's been forever since City High has won a state championship. I think, geez, back in the late 50s, maybe, which is pretty hard to believe. They've had a lot of really, really good baseball teams, just haven't been able to finish it off and win one.
Yeah. 3A, looking at that, Wallard's been kind of wire-to-wire number one. Pella with a very good team. Marion was upset by Mount Vernon, and then they fell to the perennial. I knew your trivia question answer, by
Did
the
you?
Way. Yes, Davenport Assumption has won the most. 3A, interesting field. Sioux City Helens playing at home. Pella, very, very good, but they're playing Sergeant Bluff. Luton is basically a Sioux City team. Seidel may have the best player going up against Assumption. So 3A is going to be interesting.
Yeah. Like you said, again, you know, we'll see how the home field, so to speak, advantage kind of works out. And, you know, from that standpoint, I think that's cool for the Western Iowa schools to have a little bit of a home edge advantage that way, right?
So, right.
Yeah, we'll see. I still think Wallert might be the team to beat just because, you know, they play that the NBC schedule and I think split with City High in regular season. Not quite sure how they did against Liberty and Prairie, but that's a really good baseball team and a great program. And, you know, I think them and Helan had a knockdown dragout, if I remember right, and maybe the semifinals last year.
Yep.
At Vet Stadium here in Cedar Rapids. So you can't ever go past those two. And then, like you said, I mean, how can you ever bet against a Davenport Assumption, which has the most state championships of any school in Iowa? That was a trivia question. I didn't know it, honestly, until I had to look it up. I was thinking Norway might be up there in Keihai, and they were, I think, like second and third. But, yeah, Assumption has 11 state championships, so. Looking at it that way, and like you said, Pella plays a tough schedule as well. So, I don't know. I still think maybe it's Wallard's to win, but again, I mean, you can make a case for a lot of different teams.
Bancroft St. John's. I was thinking of them too, by the way.
Always were great baseball. Where are they? Are they part of what? Remsen St. Mary's?
I want to say Remsen St. Mary's. Yes. We'll get to them.
yes, exactly.
Jeff Johnson joining us from the Gazette here. We go to 2A in Carroll at Merchants Park. Beautiful old stadium, by the way, in lovely Carroll. Underwood's been number one all year. They get Cascade in the first round. Never underestimate the Cascade Cougars in baseball.
No, Roman Hummel's as good a coach as you'll find around, and they they're peaking obviously at the right time. They won I want to say like 9 of their last 10 or something like that, and you know hit around a really good pitcher from Grundy Center in the sub-state finals in Judd Jarofsky. Got past Denver, upended Regina, which was a top 10 team. In the second round, I want to think so. Yeah, never looked past them, and you know what? We'll have to see. Like you said, Underwood 20, I think it's 24-2 or something like that, and gets the number one seed. And Pleasantville's, I think I want to think 30-1 or 31-1, something like that, and that's the number two seed. Yeah. And then, you know, Van Meter, again, perennial power, right? Sitting there at the three seed as well. And, 4-5 games, Unity Christian and Meepo, Mediapolis, makes it in this year. So, Cascade will have a chance, hands full, no doubt, with a number one Underwood. But, again, beat a couple of really, really good teams along the tournament trail so far.
1A, you got a couple really, really good stories. East Buchanan, Up?
Well, yeah.
Can we call it an upset over North Lynn? I guess a little bit as far as seedings is concerned, it was. But we know East Buchanan's got good athletes, and they finally climbed that hill against North Lynn.
Yeah, that was an interesting game all the way around. You know, four freshmen and four sophomores in the starting lineup for East Buchanan. So, you know, North Lynn hit the ball really hard, I thought, throughout most of the night, but couldn't come up with the big hit to put them over the top. And then East Buchanan played an incredibly clean game, and that ultimately was the difference in that 5-4 win. So, good for the Bucks, like you said, first time in school history they're at the state tournament, and you know, they get a good Linville Sully team. Linville Sully and Sigourney were far and away the best teams in the South Iowa Cedar League this year, so certainly no easy task there. And then you look at the rest of the field. Remsen St. Mary's number one team, and Hillcrest Academy, kind of a
how about
a
that
Cinderella story. Yep,
the Ravens.
Gets in and as the number eight seed, so it's Remsen and Hillcrest Academy, and then, you know, a couple of perennial powers again in the 4-5 game, Martinsdale, St. Mary's, and Lansing Key. And then St. Ansgar is the number three seed and plays Loma, Logan Magnolia, the sixth seed, which is in also for the first time this season, or first time in school history at the state baseball tournament. So, you know, I don't know. You got to go with the number one seed, I think, right? St. Mary's. But Chiefs just can never underestimate, like, a Key, which is there every year. Martinsdale. Could be an interesting semifinal.
Could be. They'll always be IMS to us, Jeff.
I agree. And the school with no nickname. Now they change their name, and they have a nickname, the Ravens. So, wanted to give a quick shout out Dwight Gingrich, who I know you know.
Oh yeah,
well, legendary basketball coach at NIMS and Hillcrest is moving on to the college game to be athletic director and head basketball coach at. Help me out, Scotty. I always mix it up. It's a school, the Mennonite school in Indiana, Goshen maybe.
Yes, Goshen. I believe Goshen.
Yeah, that's where he's headed. That's his next calling. I mean, he's what did he finish? I think third in the state all time in victories, boys basketball wise, and as good a man as you'll meet, as good a coach as you'll see, and excited for him to finish out his career at Goshen on the college level where he was for one season.
One season.
Yep, one season, kind of in between stints at IMS / Hillcrest.
So, yeah.
Good luck, Dwight.
Good luck to him indeed. And tell you what, before we let you go, how about those Cedar Rapids Colonels again, huh? Into the playoffs one more time for your beloved Minnesota Twins, and caught fire late in the first half to get in.
Yeah, for sure. And Quad Cities went on a timely or untimely, depending on who you're rooting for, losing streak there that allowed Cedar Rapids to, kind of take over and win the game, as it turned out, by one game in the first half. And, you know, a second half start, I thought, really first couple weeks, Cedar Rapids looked pretty like kind of a tired baseball team. But I think you get that. You know, right now, especially at the high level where some guys are going through the pro baseball grind, 132 games for the first time. And, but last week they went to Peoria and won all six games. So I know this was a very timely and needed break for all the minor leaguers this week. And they, Colonels start back up with three at home this weekend against Wisconsin. And then Fort Wayne comes in for a week and has one of the top prospects in all baseball. And 19-year-old Leo DeVries, a shortstop. Remember that name. He's like top five in the game as far as prospects go.
Yeah, so he's a good one. He's a good one. See him next week with Fort Wayne.
Yep.
All right, man. Highway 30 will be your friend for the next few days. So we wish you the best.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work.
Or the bane of my existence. One or the other. I'm not sure. So,
right.
We'll see.
Thanks, JJ.
Thanks, Scotty. Appreciate it. Take care.
You bet. JJ, Jeff Johnson from the Gazette joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. We are off tomorrow. We're going to be back with you coming up on Monday. Cubs and the Boston Red Sox get the second half of the baseball season underway at Wrigley Field, and that will be tomorrow. We do have Spencer on sports from 4 until 6 next. That's you.
I'm here, yeah.
That's you, buddy.
You're all alone in here. I forgot about that part. But
well, you have two guests.
True.
We got through her very well.
There you go. Well, you make do with what you can, right? Yeah. It's the last day of the slowest time of the year in sports talk radio. So we're going to make the best of it. Got another edition of Summer School coming up at 4:30. Going to hear a little bit of basketball talk. Got some sound from Iowa and Iowa State we'll get to. I'm going to revisit my Major League Baseball picks.
Ooh.
I actually did pretty well.
I've done okay.
There was one that I think might be the worst pick of the year. I'll reveal that after 5 o'clock. But I've got a couple that, as of now, they're dead on, which means second half of the year is going to be a total disaster, just knowing how my luck works. And then some other headlines in the sports world. We got Backpage News at 5:30. So that's coming up.
Backpage News. We'll look forward to that. I picked the Astros.
I did not.
I picked the Baltimore Orioles, too.
Yeah. One of my wild card picks is looking like a massive, massive dud. So I'll just leave it at that. Have to listen to like 5:15-ish to find out which one. So,
do you are you an award show guy?
Not necessarily.
See, I didn't watch the ESPYs
last
night.
No, I didn't. I was sports free last night. I had a little bit of different things on. Had some stuff to do that took me away from the TV, so I was not tuned in last night.
Now I watched the monologue later because reading all about people that were happy about it and people that hated it.
Right.
I will take a listen. See what happens. And, yeah, it was a monologue.
Right.
You know, you're going to make fun of people, and that's what it's about.
Yeah, that's it. You hire a comedian to give a monologue at an award show, he's going to kind of toe the line a little bit. I don't know what people are expecting. It is what it is.
Very true. All right. Well, we will look forward to the show.
We'll be here.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. And that'll be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Quick Open Championship update, just to let you know before the top of the hour here. The tie is a 5-way tie at the top. Olsen, Hautong Lee, Matt Fitzpatrick, Christian Bezadenhout, and Harris English, all at minus 467s today. Scotty Scheffler shot a 3 under par, 68. Rory McIlroy, 1 under par, 70 today. Hope you enjoyed it. We are back on Monday with our next edition of the Gym Class. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6 right here in Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate.